When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Greetings. Good morning for me. Good afternoon or good evening. I don't know what time it is back in New York, but welcome to the All-Star Break is Finally Here edition of Rico Bronya, episode 512. My travels with my family has taken me to Rome, Italy. So we will do this Rico Bronya live on YouTube at about 11 o'clock at night. But for me, it is Monday morning. It's been an adventurous European trip. The New York Mets do win 2 out of 3 against the Kansas City Royals. Of course, the series ends and the first half ends on a very, let's just be honest, down note. Because they were this close, and I'm holding my two fingers close together, they were this close to going into the All-Star break in first place. And how cool would that have been, especially after what happened in Baltimore and certainly the bad stretch that they had earlier this month. And they just couldn't hit. And really, when you look at these three games against Kansas City, and it's a series win, I am thrilled with it. I am not throwing it back. I don't think any of us should. The offense was the biggest issue. I mean, you saw the return of Kodai Senga, and that was great. You saw the return of Sean Manaea, even though it was out of the bullpen, and that was mostly great. Clay Holmes was at least effective on short rest. Frankie Montas pitched well. Like, the pitching ills felt like they were cured with these three games against Kansas City. You weren't dealing with a bunch of quadruple-A pitchers trying to get outs who weren't even going to be on this team in a couple of weeks. The issue with this team goes back to the offense. And even in the games they won, and we'll go game by game, we'll pick our Rico star of the series, the net negative, all that. But go back to the first game of this series. They scored one run in the first 7 innings, and it took a late explosion, and it was great. Mark Vientos coming through with the big bases clearing double, and obviously Lindor and Soto going back to back. So they end up putting up 8 runs, but they go through the beginning of this game where they can't hit Michael Wacha. And they can't hit Angel Zerpa. And they struggle offensively. And game two, kind of the same thing. It takes great pitching. And they win 3-1 with the third run coming late. And obviously the finale of this series, they get shut out until the 9th inning. So the offense continues to be the bugaboo that even when you think it's cured, because as Steve Cohen likes to call them, the Fab Four goes nuts, the offense continues to pop its head every once in a while and cost them games. Now, let me address a couple of things. Number one, I'd like to humble brag about something. I don't even think it's really a humble brag. It's more to show you how pathetic I am. So this trip we're on has involved a lot of driving. We rented a car. We drove from one European city to another. And so a couple of days ago, we drove from France to Florence, Italy, and eventually Rome, Italy. And Pete, you're about to be very impressed by me, or probably likelier, think I'm a sick puppy. So do you guys remember the Friday night game, the opener of this series against the Kansas City Royals? It was scheduled to be an 8 o'clock first pitch. There was an hour and a half rain delay, and so the game ended up starting at 9:30. Well, for me, on a Friday night. That was supposed to be a 2 a.m. first pitch. That morning, the following morning, Saturday morning, I may have to keep this story on European time so it's not confusing. The game was supposed to start at 2 a.m. We were leaving as France very early in the morning. We were planning on leaving at about 5 a.m. to drive to Florence, Italy, which is about 5 hours away, spend a few hours there, and then eventually go to Rome, Italy, which is another 3 hours away. So we were leaving very early, 5 a.m. But the game starting at 2, it was like, all right, I'll wake up at 2, I'll watch the game, and then boom, we'll be on our way. Game gets delayed by an hour and a half. I start the game at 3:30 live. For you guys, it's 9:30. I watch the first three innings of the game. We were up 1-0. Kodai Senga is dancing with trouble. At that point, it's time to go. It's time to go to the car. And I say to my wife, I'm going to try to pull off a world record. I'm going to try to not know the score of the Met game and continue our entire day. And eventually, once we're settled in Rome about 18 hours later, I'll watch the rest of the game. DVRing a game in Europe, a lot easier than DVRing a game in the U.S. because I never had to worry about like the score being spoiled. All I had to do was just not check my phone. So we drove the 5 hours to Florence, saw the David. By the way, the David's very impressive. Kind of a small penis. Just saying. Just kind of jumped out at me. Anyhow, we spend a few hours there, have a nice lunch. We drive to Rome, go out to dinner, some more Italian food, which is unbelievable. I mean, the food in Italy is freaking ridiculous. Unbelievable. My Italian needs some work, but man, the food is great. We got back to our hotel, house, chateau, whatever you want to call it, at about 11 o'clock at night. Still had no idea what happened in the Met game. But the funny part was, it's now running into the next game, to the Saturday game, which was locally a 4 o'clock first pitch in New York. So 11 o'clock out here in Italy. So I'm there scoring like a loser the rest of game one, watching us go down 3-1 after Bobby Witt Jr. hits the two-run home run against Waskar Brazoban, who has been evicted from the circle of trust. I watched the team obviously explode offensively in the eighth or ninth inning, which was great. And then as soon as the game is over, it's after midnight, I now start the next game. So I had a doubleheader on a Saturday. I had the finale of the final six innings of Friday's game, and then Saturday's game. So it was my greatest DVR achievement, being able to pull that off, not know what happened, and not miss a pitch. And that's why people think I'm nuts. They're like, oh, you know, enjoy your vacation. I am enjoying my vacation. That was great. Yeah, drove from Ez to Florence to Rome. Didn't think about the Mets. I mean, maybe I thought about them a little bit. I was curious what happened. But then with the downtime, was able to watch the rest of the game. And it was pleasing. I mean, I got to watch the Mets win twice in about an hour and a half. It was like a real doubleheader. Not like the Oriole doubleheader, which was a split doubleheader where you had to wait a few hours. In my case, it was an instant doubleheader. But going back to game one, the one that took me 19 hours to watch, that was Kodai Senga. I mean, he gets into trouble early. The way he escaped that first inning jam was unbelievable. When he put second and third, nobody out with 3-4-5 coming up. And then he basically goes to town, throwing that ghost fork to Vinny Pasquantino. And he gets through the first inning. He ran into two out trouble in the second, which was very odd because he had two outs and nobody on with 8 and 9 coming up and walked them back to back. So all of a sudden, like, Senga just loses the strike zone. But he was decent over his four innings. I mean, it was really typical of Kodai Senga. He's going to put guys on base. He's going to be able to make the big pitch when he needs to. And they miss him. Like, even if it's the five-inning variety, which I know his performance on Friday is not a fair one to judge. It's his first back from the IL. He will go deeper into games. They'll push him a little bit more. But look, one of the big critiques of Senga, which probably keeps him from being one of those top echelon aces, is that he doesn't go 7 or 8 innings. And rarely will he. But they missed him. And seeing him back there on the mound, being able to make the big pitch with guys on base consistently, it was a sight to behold. But the problem with Friday's game is they were going to heavily rely on their bullpen. And we saw Carrillo come in and give up a run. But more valuable than that, he got 6 outs. Because now you're counting down the outs when you only get 4 from your starting pitcher, which we're obviously very familiar with because that's been the name of the game this season, not getting a lot of innings out of your starters. The Brazoban thing was just, you know, it was an implosion. The one little bit of credit I'll give to Waskar is after he gives up the 2-run home run to Bobby Witt Jr. and he gives up the double to Pasquantino. It could have been uglier. It could have been worse. The Royals could have ran away with that game. And instead of the Mets being down by 2 runs, it could have been 3 or 4. So I guess I give him a little bit of credit for getting through that seventh inning. And then we saw them at offense, which, look, it's intoxicating because there are moments, there are times, like the eighth inning of game one of this series, where they're everything we dreamt of, where they're everything we envisioned. You know, Brandon Nimmo behind in the count comes through with a base hit. Lindor draws a walk. Soto draws a walk. And you're set up with bases loaded, nobody out. And really, the hero's Mark Vientos. And that was, of all the things that were important from this series win, you got the return of Manaea, the return of Senga, no question. And we'll get more into Manaea in a little bit. But maybe, and the key word is maybe, the return of Mark Vientos being an offensive force. That opposite field, Piazza-like, bases-clearing double was not only big because it won them a game, it was big because maybe it unlocks Mark Vientos. And if it does, and Steve Gelb said this a lot on the broadcast, he's right, it changes the complexion of this lineup. But going back to just the context of the game, you got bases loaded, nobody out. You're down by two runs in the eighth inning. You have your big hitters up. And Pete Alonso did not have a great series. He is a candidate for the net negative. He did draw that bases loaded walk, though, which, you know, we can't ignore. It was the one time they came through with guys on base after Soto struck out with the bases loaded, which we can't forget early in this game. Remember, Pete drew that walk that gave the Mets the 1-0 lead that you knew they were never going to be able to just stand on. They were going to need to score more runs. They weren't going to win that game 1-0. So Pete did have that at-bat, and he had some decent at-bats throughout this series, but he also struck out a million times, including in this spot with bases loaded, one out. And so Vientos' plate appearance was not only big for him, but it was a chance to clean up a missed opportunity by Pete, because you lose this game 3-1, it's frustrating, obviously. But you lose this game 3-1 after you have bases loaded, nobody out in the eighth inning, and you can't score. That would make it far worse. And so Vientos' hit was, it was enormous on so many levels, and I think if he does complete this turnaround that we're also desperate for, I think we may look back at this Vientos sequence, this Vientos at-bat, as one of the bigger at-bats of the season. It helped that they added to it. You know, it helped that we saw, you know, Lindor hit a bomb that really broke the game open. And in Soto's case, I've never been one to rip the home run up late. Like they used to kill A-Rod back in the day with the Yankees. Oh, yeah, he hits his home runs. It's 9-1 in the eighth inning. Who cares? I don't want to do that about Juan Soto. But the only reason I felt that way on Friday when he hit the home run that made it 8-3 in the ninth inning was because of the missed opportunities he had earlier in the game. I think back to that third inning when they had bases loaded, one out, like we talked about, and he struck out. And even later on in this series, he came up with, I think it was runner on third, less than two outs in the finale of this series, and he struck out or grounded out to first base. He's had a lot of failures in big spots, and because of that, I think when he hits a home run up 7-3, and yes, it's his 22nd home run of the season, and he's got a chance to match his home run total from last year with the Yankees, and that's great, and maybe not something a lot of us expected, it's disappointing. Let me address the Soto All-Star Game thing. That was a few days ago, but Juan was asked about not making the All-Star team, and he said, yeah, left a lot of money on the table. I mean, people got to pipe down. I mean, people got to calm the hell down. Like, oh, how could he say that? He's a billionaire. Let me tell you something about rich people, all right? And I'm not one of them. But rich people never stop thinking about money. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you hit this moment of saying, eh, I don't care. I could give or take $1 million. Eh, whatever. I'm a billionaire. Like, think about any billionaire or millionaire in the world. Do you think for a second they ever leave money on the table? And so I say that because Juan Soto was being honest. Now, maybe he was joking. I've heard a lot of people make that claim. Ah, he was having fun. Okay, maybe. But I think he was being real. And I think we live in this fantasy world in sports. I don't live in this fantasy world where, oh, but Juan Soto just loves being a Met. That's all. That's it. Bro, come on. He came here for the money. That's okay. I mean, a lot of people come. Carlos Beltran came here for the money. We were okay with him. On the other side, for the Yankee fans that are voyeuristic, all your guys came for the money. And sometimes you want to believe this story, like, oh, but he always wanted to be a Yankee. Stop it. They came here for the money. So this interlude from Talking Met Baseball is just a reminder that Juan Soto did come here for the money. That's okay. And it's also okay if he wants to say, yeah, it kind of pisses me off that $250,000 are off the table. And for anyone who wants to sit there with their calculator and figure out, well, what does that really mean money-wise? You got to stop with that. I told this story once before. I knew a man who was a millionaire, a very rich man, and he was bragging to me how when he goes to the movie theater, he keeps bringing the all-you-could-eat popcorn box that he acquired 5 years earlier and got mad when they finally said no more. And he said, all-you-could-eat for life. Now, all of a sudden, it's not. And he was a millionaire. And so it's a reminder that even when you're rich, you don't stop thinking about the extra money you could get. So if it wasn't a joke, and it may be, I don't know, I can't get in his brain, and he was just being real, who cares? People got to get over it and stop living in a fantasy land like these athletes came here because they love our logo or love us as fans. He came here for the money. It's okay. As long as he performs, I don't give a rat's ass.
Well, something else to add to that, Ev, is the fact that he is here for the money, which means in 5 years when he opts out, if he wants more money, if he wants the Mets to say, you know what, you're not going anywhere, we're going to give you more money on top of it, he's got to perform well. He's got to be an all-star. He's got to be the best version of himself. So screw it. Yeah. Be great. Want more.
I'm going to give you a wrestling analogy. I don't know how many of people in our audience are wrestling fans, but when CM Punk came back to the WWE about, oh boy, it's been a year and a half now, he made his return promo, and at the end of the promo, he said, I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to make money. And everybody thought it was so badass. Like, yeah, that's CM Punk. Juan Soto is a money-making, hit-making, driving run-in badass. Okay, so he wants to make more money. Okay. I mean, don't we all? So I have no problem with it. Now, did Juan Soto get screwed out of making the All-Star game? Yeah. Do I personally care? No. And maybe that's my age. I just turned 42 years old. Thank you, Duncan, for sending in those awesome donuts.
They're very tasty.
I'm glad you enjoyed my head. Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Maybe it's my age. I don't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune. Which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Care who makes the All-Star team. I don't really care about the All-Star game anymore. I know a lot of people do, and I respect that, especially the younger audience. I know that, like I said, for guys on their resume or for guys making money, the All-Star game matters, and that's why, sure, I have an opinion on who should make it or not. Am I going to lose sleep over it? No. I mean, should Juan Soto have been an All-Star? Yeah. Should Francisco Lindor have been an All-Star a few times until this year? Absolutely. But I'm not getting mad about it. I'm not going to give you fake anger about it. I'll tell you the facts, and the facts are it should have been an All-Star. I've also learned, and football is a little bit different, where when we're judging someone's Hall of Fame career, I never use the amount of All-Star games they went to. Like in football, and it's kind of crazy, we do use Pro Bowls. Like that is always cited. All-Pro and Pro Bowls are like a thing you almost cite when deciding if someone is a Hall of Famer or not. I don't think that's the case in baseball, and because of that, I only sleep over it. But yes, Juan Soto did hit a meaningless home run that gave the Mets an 8-3 lead in game one. Game two of this series, to me, was about Frankie Montas giving you 5 good innings, which was such a good sight to see because the jury's out on Frankie Montas. I don't think we really know what to expect. Like, we're still not sure what he is. And he, too, much like Senga a day earlier, leadoff double, works his way out of it, gets some great defense behind him, including Brett Beatty making that diving play in the second inning. He was really in control. And then I think Mendy just had to make the decision in the sixth inning. All right, how far do I push him? He has a low pitch count. I got 5 scoreless innings out of him. How far do I go? He gives up the leadoff double to Kyle Isbell. And I'm kind of like, all right, push him a little bit further. He gives up the double to Jonathan India ahead of the count. And now all of a sudden, this 2-0 game is 2-1. I think at that point, he was probably right, Mendy was, to take Frankie Montas out, only because now he's giving up back-to-back doubles. I always say this, forget the pitch count. Like, pitch count can be negative both ways. Sometimes we shouldn't fall in love with a low pitch count and say, well, the guy's got to stay in the game, his pitch count's low. No, you got to look at how effective someone is. And when Montas is giving up back-to-back doubles in the sixth inning, and now you've got Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino coming up, I thought Mendy was aggressive in taking Montas out. And what I really loved about what he did is he went to the best of his bullpen. And how many times have I said that? Look, you got the heart of the order coming up. You got the best hitters coming up. Go to some of your best relievers. And Reed Garrett lately has kind of re-entered the circle after the implosion he had a week ago. And so going to Reed Garrett early in the sixth inning against 2-3-4 with a 2-1 lead, I thought was tremendous. I thought it was the right thing to do. So I commend Mendy, I thought, for the way he managed that sixth inning. He gets the inning out of Reed Garrett. I thought he was going to try to squeeze another ring out of him. Instead, he challenges Chris Devensky, who's quietly pitched well. And this was his first real opportunity in a big spot with only a 2-1 lead, high leverage spot in the seventh inning. And Devensky works into trouble. He works out of trouble. He gets through it. And then, this was my favorite Mendy thing. This game two of this series is the Mendy love affair. And then I'll rip him a little bit later. Was going to Diaz for the 6-out save. Because when I'm looking down at my scorecard, and at this point, I think I'm almost live. Like I said, I caught up on the game I was 18 hours late for. I started this game an hour late. I'm skipping the commercials. I see the top of the order coming up with a 1-run lead. I see that he's used Garrett. He's used Devensky. Where do you go? Like, are you going to Ryan Stanek or are you going? And I thought with their best hitters coming up, you go to Edwin Diaz. And then you worry about the ninth inning later. But as I'm giving it more thought, I'm like, wait a second. You got the All-Star break coming up on Monday. Why not try to get 6 out of them? Like, why not try to get 6 outs out of them? It sort of made sense. If there's any time you're going to try to do it, you're Carlos Mendoza, wouldn't this be the moment? And it worked out great. Now, let's address the controversy, because there is controversy. And, of course, that was Bobby Witt Jr. drawing a 1-out walk, 2-1 at the time. and then stealing second base. It was, I'll use this word, egregious that the umpires overturned that call. First of all, I like replay. I want to fix bad calls. The millimeter overslide or the millimeter he slid over the base and his arm slightly came up, to me, is not the spirit of replay. If it's egregious, of course, call the guy out. If we're talking about microscopic evidence on a slide in which the guy clearly beats the throw, I don't love it. And with that said, not loving it, I don't think there was nearly enough evidence to overturn that call. And that was a big, big call. Now, do I have confidence that Edwin Diaz, with a runner on second and one out, still gets through the eighth inning? I do. But here's the game changer on this. Even if I'm right that Diaz gets through the eighth inning, does he throw too many pitches to where Mendy doesn't bring him back out for the bottom of the ninth inning? It's a fair question. I don't know the answer to that. And if the answer is no, and now Ryan Stanek is trying to save the game, it's a different baseball game. So that was, you know, when you think of the breaks that go your way, the breaks that go against you over the course of a long baseball season, this one definitely jumps out at you as a huge break that the Mets got. Huge. And there's no throwing it back. I'm not throwing it back. I'm just calling it like it is. It was an egregious call. And for that to be overturned, that cannot be overturned. That can't be overturned. You want to call that on the field? Okay. You cannot overturn that call.
Did you feel like the Tolbert call from Friday was the same type of call too? I mean, the Witt was more egregious because I could not figure out where he was off the bag.
Yeah. No, I think this one was more – the Tolbert one, like, you can see it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I go back to my spirit of the rule was I didn't want instant replay to overturn this, but just looking at the actual play, I think Tolbert was out, and so they were probably right to overturn it. In this case, I didn't see it. I didn't see where the umpires could overturn that. Didn't make any sense to me.
Right. Well, this is now – and to be honest with you, it's been three calls that the Mets have gotten overturned, and now we can go and debate the other one. I think it was I forget who was it. Was it versus Milwaukee, where they got the tag at third or second base? But
there's been a lot to your point.
And the Mets have gotten all the breaks. But I know this much: if it was reversed though, and the Mets got called out on that, we would be having a conniption fit.
No, of course. And look, I'm not going to have a conniption fit because it would be disingenuous. I'm just going to calmly tell you they screwed it up. And the Mets got a huge break. And okay, I mean, what more can we do? Should we offer the win up and say take it back? No, it's baseball. And it sucks, man. Like, if we have a call against us, we'll scream and cry. If we have a call for us, we'll admit it. By the way, it feels like the sun is coming out. For those watching live on YouTube, it is about 5:38 in the morning here in Roma, Italia. But back in New York, it's like 11:40. This is the weirdest part of the time difference. Like, when it's 2 o'clock here where I am and it's 8 a.m. where you are, to me, that's not as weird. It's weirder when it's a different day. To me, Pete's going to go to sleep and have to wake up and produce the midday show tomorrow. My day's already started. You know, that to me is the weirdest part. One quick thing. We will name the Rico star of the series. We will pick our net negative. But remember, you can knock one out of the ballpark and raise the apple with Takara Chuhai, a sparkling cocktail that blends real shochu spirits with the delicious flavors of fruits locally grown in Japan. It's available at Citi Field and Fuji Apple, of course, white peach and lemon. I can't wait to be back at Citi Field. I'll be there for the David Wright retirement ceremony. I spoke to my dad on the phone the other day because I'm coming back on Friday. That's when I'm landing back in New York, like Friday. And my dad says, are you sure you're going to be up for going to the game on Saturday? You're not going to be too tired, jet lagged, everything you've done for 2 weeks. And I said, Dad, I will walk through fire, not literally, and I will walk into Citi Field half asleep to see David Wright's jersey retired. So don't worry, I'll be there. And speaking of David Wright, coming up on Wednesday, we will give you a David Wright countdown here on the Rico Bronya, where we're going to count down the greatest moments of David Wright's career. So remember to subscribe to the Rico Bronya because you're not going to want to miss that episode. So if you're just someone who listens occasionally, or you check it out on YouTube, or you sometimes download it on Spotify or the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast, subscribe because you don't want to miss every episode. And that'll be a fun one as we go down a little memory lane with David Wright. That should be a lot of fun. Now let's get to the finale of this series. And that was the game that occurred on Sunday afternoon. Another rain delay, which, whatever. I mean, I'm kind of used to it. Aren't we all used to it? It was great to see Shaw Manaea back. And the whole game, I kept thinking, how are they going to use him? Like, when are they going to use him? Ron Darling made the point early on. He was right. They're not going to use him in the middle of an inning. They'll probably use more of a high-leverage reliever to get Clay Holmes out of any kind of trouble. Let me start with Clay. This was sort of a typical Clay Holmes performance where five innings, two runs is fine. And honestly, five innings, two runs is going to be more than fine with a healthy rotation. If Senga remains in the rotation, if Manaea remains in the rotation, with the way David Peterson has thrown the ball, we'll see about Montas, who had a good outing. Five innings, two runs is going to be okay because now you're viewing Clay Holmes more as a middle to back of the rotation arm as opposed to a guy that you're relying on as a top of the rotation arm. So I thought he was fine. He made the big pitch when he needed to, got double plays against Bobby Witt Jr. in two different innings, in the first and third inning. I thought the second inning, the inning that kind of did him in, you know, was his roughest, and he was bailed out because Luis Angel Acuña made one hell of a diving play on a ball that should have been a base hit. But he was able to get through it and then settle in after that. The problem wasn't Clay Holmes. The problem was the Met offense did tick until the ninth inning of this game. And they had opportunities. And I was killing Soto a little bit earlier. Let me get back to that. Mark Vientos, who had two more hits in this game, so definitely red hot, hits a triple off the wall in which Caglione just kind of botched it completely. You have a runner on third and less than two outs. It's the top of the first inning. If you're Juan Soto, can you drive that run in? And it's amazing to me because I think it was on the Friday broadcast. They gave Soto stats with a runner on third and less than two outs and how good they are. I was floored by that. I've been watching this team all year long. Did anybody on the top of their mind think Juan Soto's been really productive getting runs in with runners on third and less than two outs? Hasn't felt that way. And he hit that little ground ball to shortstop, and that was a killer. And you knew Pete wasn't going to get a chance to hit because I think managers are realizing, even in this slump where Alonso's average is dropping, you're still better off going after whoever is behind him. In this case, it was Brandon Nimmo. And credit to Noah Cameron. Noah Cameron threw a hell of a game, and you know, he ended up striking out eight guys, worked his way out of trouble when he got himself into trouble. Second inning, Mets got a leadoff man on, got through it. One out hit in the third inning, got through it. They had two on and one out in the fourth inning, got through it. Felt like he got stronger as the game went on. Got a huge double play against Luis Torrens later on in the game. It was a really good performance by Noah Cameron. As far as the lineup was concerned, I think, look, if Francisco Lindor is cool with bumping between one and two, then I guess it's fine because the Lindor change to the two spot was more about the team slumping and trying to spark the offense than anything else. And I remember last year when they moved Lindor to the leadoff spot, that was his one almost prerequisite, which is, all right, if you're going to make me the leadoff hitter, just make me the leadoff hitter. It just hit Brandon Nimmo leadoff. Like, if you want Lindor to bat second against right-handed starters, which is what he's done over the last few weeks, then stop getting cute with it. I get it. Marte's out. Vientos doesn't really fit as a leadoff hitter. I'm not suggesting that, but I am suggesting just keeping Brandon Nimmo in the leadoff spot. Because even when he isn't productive, even when he isn't walking a ton of times, he's still giving you quality at-bats. And you're not messing with the order too much. So when I saw that lineup, it was just like, you know what? Just stick with Nimmo. Just have him lead off. It ain't that big of a deal. But that's not why they lost this game. Though Lindor did go 0-for-5, so maybe it is why they lost this game. If you want to connect Lindor leading off with the 0-for-5, which I don't know if you can actually do, but sure, why not? This was everybody. This was, I think, what's going to keep us up at night about this team going into the second half of the year, which is their offense. Like, it is so inconsistent. And when they explode, it's great. And Steve Cohen goes on Twitter and says, see, what are you worried about? What am I worried about? What we're worried about? All year long, this offense is all underachieved. That's what we're worried about. They go through seven innings at a time where they don't hit. That's what we're worried about. Like, are there moments when they explode? Sure. And it's great. It's fantastic. But then you've got games like Sunday where they go scoreless into the ninth inning. I love that they rallied, though. You know, you're down 2-0 in the ninth inning with Carlos Estevez on the mound. Did I think they were going to come back with the bottom of the order coming up? No. Mauricio hits that double, which was mostly misplayed by Nick Lofton, the left fielder. And then Jeff McNeil just missed a game-tying two-run homer. It turned out not to matter because he scores on the sacrifice fly two batters later. But Jeff McNeil, credit to him. He's had some big at-bats lately. And I've killed him before on the Rico for never coming through. He's come through a lot lately. I mean, that was essentially a game-tying two-run home run. Luckily, after Brett Beattie grounded out, we did get to see, of all people, Jared Young come through with the first pitch sacrifice fly to tie the game up. And I felt after they tied the game that it was a no-brainer to keep Manaea in. I want to start there because Manaea at that point had pitched three scoreless innings. And he really looked locked in that seventh inning when he struck out three guys in a row. And even in the eighth inning when he put himself into trouble, think about how he put himself into trouble. There was a bunt by Kyle Isbell that Manaea just couldn't field. He gets a foul pop-up, a strikeout, a base hit to Pasquantino, clean base hit, no excuse there, and then gets Mikel Garcia on the first pitch to pop up. It's not like he was wild and lucky. So he had himself a pretty good eighth inning. He had thrown three scoreless innings. The Met bullpen was going to be lacking availability, especially Diaz, because of the six-out save he got the night before. So with the bottom half of the order coming up, it wasn't even a thought to take Sean Manaea out. And what did him in, I mean, the moment of this game that he will regret was you're facing a light-hitting Tyler Tolbert, who is there for his speed and is there for his defense, and you give up a base hit to right field. And that was a killer because you knew what was coming next. As good as the Mets are at shutting down run games, you knew he was going to run. And even when you're good at shutting down a run game, there's still a better chance that that guy steals second base than not. And now you put yourself in a spot where a bloop can cost you, gets ahead of Nick Lofton, base at the left field, good night, take the lights out. And not mad at Mendy for that at all, because where did you want to go? For anybody out there who's like, nah, Manaea, take him out. Three scoreless, get him out of the game. He's not used to pitching into a tie game in the ninth inning. Stop. Where you want to go? You want to go to Ryan Stanek? You want to go to Brandon Waddell? You want to go to Dickie Lovelady? Like, where the hell do you want to go? I thought overall, as frustrating as the finale was, I thought there were two positives I do want to take out of it. Number one is Mark Vientos getting two more hits and starting to make you feel like his turnaround is real. And number two is Manaea. I mean, he looked good. He looked in control. And coming out of the All-Star break next week, and we'll see how Mendy wants to line things up with all these off days going into the Cincinnati and the Anaheim series. But you have Sean Manaea, who you have to be damn excited to have back pitching every 5 days. You've got David Peterson, who has kind of saved himself after that rough stretch he had. You got Clay Holmes, who looks good. You got Kodai Senga, who looks good. And Frankie Montas hasn't been half bad. Like, this is now all of a sudden, assuming they can stay healthy, and of course that's the big key, this feels like a good rotation. Am I crazy, Hoff, to look at the second half of the year and say, okay, wow, I actually feel pretty damn good about this starting pitching staff?
I mean, I feel way more comfortable with this than, no offense to Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes at the top of the rotation. I mean, this is a and Frankie Montas, I like to crap on him as much as possible, but he's actually looked good. So you're talking about it with Kodai, with Manaea, Clay Holmes as your three or four guy, and Montas being in the middle of rotation, it is the best we've seen all season long.
Absolutely. I think that they will need a sixth guy because they're not going to want Senga to pitch on regular rest. But what you can do is you can manipulate the schedule, you know, which they did a pretty good job of doing before Senga got hurt. And what I mean by that is when you have off days, you can kind of work yourself around. Like, I'll give you an example. Let me pull up the second half of the year schedule. So they're going to play six games before they have an off day. So it's easy. That's an easy one. Like Kodai Senga is not going to pitch the first two games against Cincinnati. Maybe you pitch him in the Sunday game against Cincinnati, which means his next start with the off day built in would give him the extra day. So I could predict you off the top that Senga is not pitching Friday or Saturday against Cincinnati, and rightfully so. Like, that's how you manipulate it without having to add a sixth guy. And then they play six games and have an off day. So you can kind of maneuver it the same way. Then they play 6 days and an off day. Then they have an off day, 3 days, an off day, 6 days, an off day. So if you really drag this out now throughout the month of August, if you're smart, and I'm sure they're mapping it out now. I haven't mapped it out yet, by the way, to tell you the exact days. Maybe I'll do that on the plane ride back on Friday. You can definitely manipulate the Senga situation without having to add a sixth starter. But look, the caveat to all of this is these guys staying healthy. And, you know, the Met pitching depth coming into spring training, let's go all the way back to spring training. Hoff and I go down there. We're feeling good. Like, hey, here we go. Their depth, not their rotation, the depth to the rotation was Paul Blackburn, injured list. Tyler McGill, injured list. Griffin Canning, out for the season. Those are their three depth guys. Those are the guys we were talking about as 6, 7, and 8 in the Met rotation. And at times, all three of those guys, really two of them, McGill and Canning, contributed and did a pretty good job in the first half of the season leading up to where the Mets are right now, which is sitting there a half game out of first place in a wild card spot. But the problem is, as we enter the second half of the year, Canning obviously is out. McGill, we hear nothing about. Same thing with Blackburn. So their pitching depth really took a hit, and they also went the entire first half of the year without going to any of their real prospects outside of Blake Tidwell. I would assume and hope that if they need depth in the second half of the season, the pitching prospects will be more of a factor than they were in the first half of the season. The other thing we have to look towards in the second half, and I'm going to make you a prediction, Francisco Alvarez will be back for Friday night's game against Cincinnati. Look, he was sent down for his defense. Let's make that clear. So I can sit here and cite all his offensive numbers until the cows come home. Yeah, I could cite his offensive numbers till the cows come home. It's irrelevant. They sent him down for his defense. But there's two things to keep in mind. Number one, they're getting nothing offensively out of the catcher's position. So when they sent Alvarez down, which I was against, the reason I was against it is because, sure, it could benefit him to be in the minors, if you want to argue that, but the Mets at the majors aren't as good. Same thing with when they sent Acuna down. You want him to play every day, fine, I can't argue it. Are they better with him on the roster? Yes, and guess what? They called him back up because they realized, hey, if we want to win games, this guy plays good defense, this guy can steal bases, we're better with him on the roster. They are going to realize with Alvarez, despite his foibles, they're better with him on the roster. And so I think he'll be back for Friday. I do. How they're going to divvy the playing time, not sure. Maybe it'll be 70-30 Alvarez. We'll see. But he's hit enough down there. Mendy's already saying, yeah, his defense looks good down there. We don't even know that. We don't see that unless you're sitting there watching Syracuse every day. But I do think he'll be back. Now let's pick our winners and losers of this Kansas City series, the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series, and the net negative. I think the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series is very easy. I think it comes down to, look, I'll give some honorable mentions. You want an honorable mention, Juan Soto, who only had two hits in this series, but both hits were home runs, one of them big, the other one not too big? Sure, you can. Want an honorable mention, Edwin Diaz, for his six-out save? Absolutely. I'd even honorable mention Reed Garrett, or any of the starting pitchers that you want. But to me, and I got to check my records because, Pete, I think this is going to be his first win this season of the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series, but doesn't it have to be Mark Vientos? The bases clearing double, I think he ended up going 5-for-13 in this series. Mark Vientos is the runaway winner of the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series. Any disagreement to that, Pete?
None whatsoever. I mean, that's the guy that I think had the most impact. Even though his triple on Sunday was, I don't know if that was really a triple. That was a misplay, but I'll take it.
Oh, that's a triple. Don't start with me. Remember, you're talking to a scoring snob. Of course that's a triple. Come on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats, but also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
But no, listen. Well, I still can't. You nailed it before, too. I cannot believe how they couldn't score him. Like, there's one out. He's at third base. He should have scored. That should have been a helpful run for the game. But anyway, Mark Vientos, clear as day, star of the series. Guy's 5-for-12. I mean, you're talking about a guy who only struck out twice in 3 games. That, to me, is somebody who's locked in at the moment.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think he's a runaway winner. I thought the net negative was more complicated. Like, Brett Beatty is a sneaky candidate for this. He only had 5 plate appearances in this series, but he was 0-for-5. He couldn't drive in the tying run before he got bailed out by Jared Young. The other guy that jumps out at me is Pete. Like, the bases loaded walk was such a good at-bat, was the only run the Mets scored for the first, 7 innings of that game. But overall, Pete had a very quiet 1-for-10. He struck out a bunch of times. Like, when I think about a net negative in this series, there really isn't anybody when it comes to pitching, unless you want to pick on Oscar Brazoban, because the pitching did a really good job. They did, top to bottom. So there isn't that easy, hey, let's just pick on Zach Pop, who's going to be DFA'd in 24 hours and call him the net negative. So I think it comes down to Brett Beatty or Pete Alonso, and I love Pete. Pete's my guy. Middle of the order, you need your middle of the order to hit. Like, you need your big guys to perform. He really didn't. So let me see how many times he's won this. By the way, I received many emails over the last few days. It's tough to read them and respond to them as we're doing these Ricos on the road, but one person asked, hey, are you guys going to pick a Rico net negative and I'm the man now star of the first half? And so my answer to that is maybe if I have time to do another Rico before I head back to the States. And that's a maybe because I don't know if I am. So if we do, sure. If not, sorry about that. Maybe next year. But let me see. Pete Alonso. Yeah, this is going to be his second. He's only won 1 net negative, and you have to go all the way back to the Dodger series. Or no, I'm sorry, the Red Sox series where they lost 2 out of 3. So.
Yeah, he deserves it because he did walk 4 times, so you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. But offensively, he's been on the downside. Even though he had a couple home runs, what was it, last series or whatever it was, or two series ago. But, yeah, he's been on a downward spiral lately. And I don't know what, you know, maybe the breaking the home run record for the Mets is getting to him.
I think he's being pitched to more difficultly. I think teams are realizing they don't have to face him. I think that's been a challenge, and you're seeing more teams just flat out intentionally walk him. But I just don't think he's getting the same pitches to hit. I think that's been a challenge for him, and we've seen the average dip. He doesn't have to match his first half numbers, but he needs to be productive, and he needs to be impactful. And one thing Pete's done this year has been very impactful. Like, his hits have been big hits. His bases loaded walk was a big walk, or at least it felt that way at the time. But as we glare towards the second half of the year, look, there are some obvious factors. The health of the rotation is clear. Finding another bullpen arm, probably via trade. We'll spend more time on the trade deadline coming out of the second half of the year and some of their targets. And Vientos, you know, I've said this for a while, how big he is. He has been the thing missing about this lineup all season long. So hopefully that changes going into the second half of the season as they take on Cincinnati and Anaheim. It sucks to not be in first place. I did think, like, it felt good when they jumped into first place on Saturday night. Like, that'd be great to sit there for 5 days being a first-place team. But it's clear that this Met-Philly race is going to be one of those back-and-forth affairs. It's going to be tight all year. Luckily, we have the edge on the tiebreaker for now. And I think this is going to be one of those scoreboard-watching pennant races. But one very important thing about this race, if they're not catching Chicago or L.A., and this is a divisional race for the third best record in the National League, then the divisional race doesn't mean anything. Okay? This is all about a first round bye. And as of right now, the Cubs and the Dodgers are ahead of the Mets and the Phillies, which means winning the division and not winning the division doesn't mean much. It's the difference between playing a home wild card series against Milwaukee and playing a home wild card series against San Diego. I mean, Tweedledee, Tweedledum. They're both good teams. Like, it doesn't matter. So, and we'll spend a lot more time on this in the second half of the year. I am telling you right now, if the Cubs and the Dodgers are going to create separation, which I don't think will happen, but let's say it does, I'm not going to care about this divisional race at all. Like, the divisional race to me only matters if it involves getting a first round bye.
But if it's going to be that close, if it's going to be that tight with the Phillies, the one thing that I will not be able to take is if you do get to, like, game 160 and you're fighting tooth and nail for that final divisional win and then you don't get there and you drop all the way to the wild card. I mean, to me, it's just – this is why I don't want to totally focus on the division no matter what, because it's too exhausting to fight for a division and then not win it. And well, then miss, because if you're not gonna get the bye, you're just totally screwed.
Well, it just shows you that the division thing only matters if you're up there. Like, we think back to 2022, they were so far ahead of dropping out of one of those top two spots that we never thought about it. But it is different. It's just a different kind of value to winning the division if you're not gonna finish with a top two record. And I would tell you there is no value to it. There is no difference. Because, again, if you're the top wildcard team, you're getting home field in the wildcard series anyway. So it doesn't make a difference. That's why I know you didn't want to admit this. I was rooting for the Yankees over the weekend. I was like, let's go Yankees. Let's get the Cubs some L's. But Chicago was obviously able to take 2 out of 3. I do want to remind you. Yes.
I'm telling you this much. I do want to root for the Yankees coming up with this Atlanta series because I want them dead.
Yes. I want them dead too. I mean, don't we all? It's part of being a Met fan. Coming up on Wednesday, make sure you're listening. We have a David Wright countdown edition. David, of course, is going to get his number retired on Saturday at Citi Field. So tune in Wednesday. Make sure you download it. Subscribe to the Rico Bronya, and you can check out a David Wright countdown. It's been a fun first half of the season. I can't wait to the second half. Hopefully, it's got big rewards for us as New York Met fans. And hopefully, we'll be doing Rico's deep into October talking about a postseason run. But thank you for joining this Rico Bronya from the beautiful city of Rome, Italy. Thank you very much for listening and downloading to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit. Which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.